Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show, powered by the Sports Kings here on iHeartRadio. It is a Friday, August 21st, 2020, and the weekend is finally here for all of us hardworking stay-at-home people like myself and like you. And man, just thankful it's another weekend, and it's also a weekend of NBA action. I'm not even going to mess around today, folks. NBA action is happening while I do this show. I do want to get caught up on a few interesting series going on in the NBA playoffs. I'm not going to really jump into more detail on this stuff, but I do want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks as they even up things with Orlando. Much different game two than it was in game one. I think we kind of knew that this was the game one was a surprise for everyone, especially the Milwaukee Bucks, but nothing to be, you know, concerned about. I mean, it happens to teams. It happens to number one seeds that go into a series that just really think they are invincible. Not saying that the Milwaukee Bucks were not, I mean, because they're coached too well to have that mentality, but I mean, it just happens. And like we said about the Orlando Magic, they're the only team that are from Orlando. So technically, while no one has home court advantage, they actually do have home court advantage. And I think they just came out and played just great ball. And we are continuing to see great basketball played. A couple of blowouts here, you know, in these game twos. I mean, that's to be expected. I mean, it could just be wear and tear. I mean, the bubble is the bubble. The action has been good all the way up to this point, but we're starting to see some teams that are just really starting to just, okay, let's stop messing around here. We don't want to be here any longer than we need to be, knowing that the NBA Finals is not going to start until, what, October? This is still August. You know, I think we're starting to see teams jump in there and take care of business. Dallas Mavericks, they are a problem for the Los Angeles Clippers. They're a problem for a lot of reasons. One, Luka Doncic. And to Porzingis and Rick Carlisle. I mean, that is a championship coach. So is Doc Rivers. But at the same time, I mean, the Clippers could be caught looking ahead. And I mean, just matchup. Now, I mean, the Dallas bench is not stepping up like they should. But I think that's only going to get better. But I mean, when you're throwing Paul George, you're throwing Kawhi Leonard, you're throwing everything that the Clippers, that chemistry is starting to show a little bit. And that's that one thing that I was a little bit concerned about. I mean, when you got Paul George and you got Kawhi Leonard out there on the court, if you're the Dallas Mavericks, man, you're looking over there at that lineup and you're going, whoa, how are we going to beat these guys? But they are. They're beating them. You know, I mean, Luka Doncic is young. And Porzingis, I mean, you got some problems, matchup problems with a 7'3" player shooting three-pointers straight away, nothing but nets. I mean, that's scary. I mean, that's Dallas, though. I mean, they, you know, Mavericks fans are used to that. They saw that from Dirk Nowitzki for many, many years. This is interesting, though, and it's one that I really didn't see coming. And I mean, this is going to go seven games, I think. I don't know how the Clippers are just going to run four games straight against a team that they struggled with for two. And a lot of people feel that this series should be 2-0 Mavs. If it wasn't for Porzingis getting tossed out of game one, the Clippers have not showed us anything. So, I mean, Doc Rivers can make the adjustments if anyone can. He's the coach, and that's why you have him coaching that team. But in the midst of him making adjustments and trying to counter what the Mavs are doing, his guys are going to have to get going too. And he's got to really watch the rotations because, I mean, he's got to get that fit out there that's going to play well. And, you know, I mean, Kawhi hasn't really – I don't see the Kawhi I've seen from the playoffs last year. But his game sort of just escalates throughout. You know, he'll start off slow, and then next thing you know, he'll get right past you. But he's got Paul George, too. And this is where that chemistry thing is. I mean, he hasn't been on many teams where he had to share the spotlight as much. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how the Clippers, this game three for the Clippers, you know, let's just go ahead and say it's a must win. Because if the Mavericks take a 2-1 lead in the series, then we're going to be talking a whole lot of different stuff here come next week when I come back. But basically on defense, I mean, you got to think about this. You got Lou Williams, you got Patrick Beverly. You just got so many good players on that team. And, you know, the same team that I praise for having just like a ton of different people, it seems like that chemistry, because you got to get these guys the ball. You got to get the Reggie Jacksons in. You got to get the Shamet, and you got so many people. It's a tough gig for Doc Rivers. And so far, it's not working what he's doing. Game three is really going to be interesting to see how they make the adjustments. And I think when they do, you probably see what you saw with the Lakers and the Trailblazers. You're going to see a Clippers blowout of the Mavericks. Once that happens, folks, I think it's done. There's no way you blow a team out and then you come back and lose, I think. And I talk more about the Lakers-Blazers series, but I think the Clippers, if they can figure it out, if the Mavericks go up 2-1, they could win the series. And they could really mess with that team because they're not clicking on all cylinders. And Doc Rivers' job becomes even more tougher trying to get them to play as one unit. So it's going to be tough. Also want to talk about the 76ers, who are on their way out of these playoffs. So is Brett Brown, as head coach of the 76ers. I mean, you know, the Boston Celtics is a good team. And I'm not really saying that. I mean, the 76ers are the 76ers. They're the same team that get them away from home, and they just struggle to win. They're going to play a little bit later on. By the time you hear this show, we would have already know who's going to win. But they're going to play a little bit later on today, the Celtics and the Sixers. But, I mean, what have we seen so far from this matchup? A 128-101 win in Game 2. And then you have to remember in Game 1, it was basically a 109-101. So they just really beat the brakes off them. And this was even after losing Gordon Hayward. The 76ers are just struggling. And it shouldn't take Ben Simmons to be out there with Embiid and everything. You know what I think about big men shooting three-pointers. The Lakers made the adjustments, putting Anthony Davis down low a little bit. Huh? How about playing that five position? And, I mean, to get that win, see what it, I'm surprised he didn't have 50 points in that game. Looking at what's happening with the 76ers and the Celtics, man, Brett Brown, I mean, I don't think they're going to get swept, but I can't even see how they're going to win a game. If they don't win tonight, they might get swept. They might just say, you know what, the hell with it. Let's get out the bubble. We know our coach is going to be fired, and that's just not a good thing. But I think that's what it's going to take. I think Elton Brand is going to have to make a decision, and I think that decision is going to probably be parting ways with Brett Brown. And I've said that even before the pandemic started. Even, you know, I mean, that's just it doesn't make sense. But that's the NBA. And a little bit later on, also we will talk about NFL training camps. I have some updates, believe it or not, and. It's just really hard to because just think about this, folks. This is the 21st of August. We're talking NFL training camps. Normally, all of us would be seeing what's happening with the NFL because it would be preseason games like tonight. Like this would be what, week 3 of the preseason. There's no preseason, right? There's no preseason games because the NFL did away with them. So now you have to really dig in. If you have the NFL channel, you're probably a little bit more tuned in to what's happening with your teams or the NFL. If you don't have the NFL channel and your only knowledge of what would be happening in training camps is the preseason, then you are completely lost. You have no idea what's going on. This is going to be scary, but I mean, the NFL is still doing what the NFL would do, but there's no fun scrimmaging against your own team. How many times are you going to line up against your own players and you're not going to try to hurt that guy? I mean, you try to make some good plays, you know, and if you're competing for a starting job, you're going to probably give it a little bit more effort, but it's nothing like the preseason. And I'm one of the few people that really like the preseason. I like the fact that guys can go out there and compete for jobs, and I like to know what the depth of a team is going to look like. So that's what we're going to be talking about on this show today. When I come back, folks, we are going to jump into some NBA playoff talk. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show here on a Friday on iHeartRadio.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all #alone together. brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. CDC is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. COVID-19 is spreading in the United States, and leaving your home increases your chances of getting and spreading the virus. CDC recommends you stay home except to get groceries, medications, or other essentials. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
And we are back, folks. Once again, you're listening to The Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio as we continue to talk about the NBA playoffs. So this is what we have so far. The Boston Celtics have a 2-0 lead over the 76ers. And I don't see why they wouldn't be able to take a 3-0 lead. Now, I mean, if the game were, it's going to be a home game for the 76ers. And in normal cases, and if this game was at home, it may be advantageous to the Sixers, but the 76ers, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Boston Celtics might have a chance to go 3-0, depending on just the whole attitude of that 76ers team. I don't see how things are going to change. But anyway, also in game two, Mavericks and the Clippers, they tied the series. Mavericks beat them 127-114 in a game that was just really controlled by the Mavericks from start to finish. Miami Heat now leads the Pacers 2-0. They beat them 109-100. Oklahoma City Thunder find themselves down 2-0 to the Houston Rockets. So I haven't talked much about the Rockets and just a big overall performance by the whole team. I mean, I think the Rockets were never, only that second quarter where it seemed like the Thunder got some type of momentum going, but it didn't last for long because after the break, the Rockets outscored them 24-19 and then went on to beat them in that fourth quarter 34-20. And you're not getting a lot of score. I mean, Alexander, though. Good Lord. I mean, he really put up a lot of points. 31 points for the Oklahoma City Thunder, which was pretty a good effort. I mean, someone's stepping up. I mean, they had at least 5 players in double figures. Gallinari with 17, Chris Paul 14, and Schroeder even showed up in that game to throw in a couple of more points. But for some reason, they just could not beat the Rockets. And the Rockets are getting this done without Westbrook, which is really interesting. Over on the Rockets side, good Lord. I mean, I think they had like 7 players in double figures there. Daniel House had 19. P.J. Tucker had 14. Covington, who's playing center, had 10. James Harden, 21. Eric Gordon, 15. Jeff Green, 15. And Austin Rivers was like tearing them up there for a minute with them threes. He had 11 points. So go figure. You know, that's 7 players right there that put up. Actually, is that 8? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, there's 7 players. Okay, I thought my math was pretty decent. But that's just crazy, though. And they're getting that done. No Russell Westbrook. And I thought for sure they would get a dose of Russell Westbrook. I think they will. This series also is on the verge of being swept, the Houston Rockets. So we're going to see how that goes. Trailblazers and Lakers. Lakers win huge, 111-88. Okay, at some points in time during that game, it was a 30-point lead. And the Lakers just really, really took it to the Blazers to tie up the series. What a tale of two different games. And Damian Lillard, there was something, and I'm looking for more information, but Damian Lillard appeared to get hurt in that game, and then it seemed to have been some sort of altercation with the training staff. And you could see the training staff going over to Coach Terry Stotts and letting him know that, hey, you know, we may have advised this, or I think this and that is going on. I recommended this. And Lillard was not happy about that. You could tell that. I mean, I don't even know what happened, but it just crazy. Lakers take that first quarter, 27-19. They controlled the game. The Blazers did make somewhat of a run, but that's garbage time in that fourth quarter. By then, that game was already over with. I mean, the Lakers just really beat them. But surprisingly, when you look at the box score of this game between the Blazers and Lakers in game two, it was just, it wasn't I mean, LeBron James, I mean, he didn't have a triple-double. He only had 10 points. He only played 27 minutes, by the way. And even Anthony Davis, with 31 points, only played 29 minutes, which goes to show you that the Lakers finally had that game where they had at least five players, almost six players in double figures, and got a huge effort from Caldwell Pope, who I basically trashed on my last show. I mean, it was him and Danny Green. I mean, Danny Green still is struggling, folks. Only 3 points in that game. But how about J.R. Smith? I told you J.R. Smith was probably going to be in that game. When you got players out there that are not, that everyone's shooting and no one's knocking down shots, and you got guards on the bench that you brought in, and for some reason, you know, you got to go there. I mean, Quinn Cook got in the game. Deion Waiters got in the game. Caruso. And all of those points helped. I mean, Quinn Cook, 5 points. I mean, a lot of that was in garbage time, of course. But Kuzma still not having a big game, 7 points. But the minutes played was so – this was really huge for the Lakers in the sense that they did not really have to exhaust minutes and use minutes that they're going to need probably later in this series because the Blazers will come back. The Blazers will come back in game three, probably take the first quarter and really make it tough. You might even see a closer game. I don't think this is, you know, the Lakers are going to dominate them in game three like they did here, but this was a huge win for the Los Angeles Lakers and tying up that series. Anthony Davis playing a little bit of that five position. I mean, you know what? When you see a seven-footer out there, you're thinking he's going to play five, right? I mean, that's what he should be playing. But anyway, over on the Blazers side, Lillard, 18 points. He played 30 minutes in that game. Whiteside was not so much effective, only putting up six. You know, I mean, only a couple of players and double figures for the Blazers. Actually, just three. CJ McCollum with 13 points, Lillard 18, and Anthony Simmons with 11 points. So not going to get it done. They just had a horrible night, and they lost convincingly. Now, those are the type of losses that can just really mess with your head, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Blazers come back and try to play, at least defend themselves from that horrible loss there. But as I said earlier, the Raptors now the only team with a 3-0 lead over the Brooklyn Nets, and it looks like the Utah Jazz is probably going to have a 2-1 lead over the Denver Nuggets, which is not surprising, but the Jazz, well-coached, good talent on that team, and I think that's what we're going to see. Now, tonight, of course, it's going to be I will definitely be looking at the Celtics 76ers game to see if indeed Joel Embiid is going to salvage what's left in that 76ers locker room. If not, Brett Brown is out of there, folks. I mean, if they get swept, he's fired probably the same day. Can't wait to see what the Clippers and Mavs are going to do tonight. Clippers, it's going to be a Mavs home game, so to speak, but Clippers must win for the Clippers. Must win. It would definitely take seven games for them in order to beat Dallas if they're going to beat Dallas. Heat and Pacers, I look for the Heat to take a commanding 3-0 lead in that series. Tomorrow, we got the Bucks and the tomorrow meaning Saturday, we got the Bucks and the Magic. Also, Rockets Thunder, Lakers Blazers Saturday. So can't wait to come back and see what took place Monday, and of course, maybe Tuesday when I come back and do the show, the Celtics would have demolished the 76ers. Same thing with the Toronto. They would have made easy work with the Brooklyn Nets. I almost said New Jersey Nets. So anyway, so I am going to go right into the NFL. I'm not even going to waste any time. We're going to do this without a break. So anyway, we want to get this because I want to watch some basketball, okay? I just got to get to the big screen and watch some basketball. We are expecting tropical weather next week. Now, next week's shows could be interesting. If there's any power outage, now I could probably still get the show done. That means I'm going to have to charge up things, you know, make sure things are running smoothly. So it's going to be interesting to see two tropical depressions or whatever you want to call them could possibly turn into hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico. Whether people are saying there's something that they have never seen before. Two tropical depressions that could hit the Gulf of Mexico, and one could hit Texas. So if all of you remember, well, I mean, even with the Gulf, you guys remember Hurricane Katrina, you remember Hurricane Harvey. So we've had our share of hurricanes, and I hope that neither one of these are going to be history makers like the other two we just mentioned. So we'll see how things go next week. So as far as I'm concerned, there's probably going to be a Tuesday show. Too much action happening on the weekend for me not to come back and give you a Tuesday show and try to get back on pace for next week. Maybe a Tuesday and a Friday show. We'll see, because I'm due to be in Dallas for a couple of days. So that's going to be interesting as well. So I probably should get the shows done so I can go and enjoy a little bit of rest and relaxation in the Big D. But it is the NFL training camps. I mean, we all knew that the NFL was dead set on getting its season underway. They are not even leaning towards not playing. Some of them, some teams, some organizations are even looking at having fans, which is going to be a stretch. But nevertheless, the NFL is moving full steam ahead. Now, what I do miss about the preseason is the fact that normally we would have, you know, we would be watching preseason. As boring as preseason games can be, especially late in third and fourth quarters, but it's still, you know, good enough to watch, in a sense that you want to see what teams are going to be competitive, what quarterbacks, what the new draft picks are going to do from a standpoint. Some of the things that I definitely want to know about, and I have some information on that, is Big Ben with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, will he be able to start at least 12 games this year? Will he be able to quickly find Juju Smith-Schuster in the open field, and who will be the legitimate backup for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think that is something that a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans are concerned about. And from the looks of it, folks, I mean, it really looks like Big Ben is having one hell of a training camp. I mean, according to some of the teammates, he's just really, really, they've never seen him like that. I mean, a lot of the players, and this came from Vance McDonald, one of the tight ends, said that he's just got some sort of fire lit under him that, and going, you know, I was at that game in Pittsburgh when Big Ben went out in that game against the Seattle Seahawks. Being, you know, watching the game, you didn't know what happened. It wasn't like there was a particular play that he got injured or where you could visibly see that was the case. But the fact that he was out for, let's just call it 15 and a half games, right? And so certainly he's going to be eager to get out there and play, and then having to watch what happened with the Steelers last year and the quarterback position, and just knowing that they just didn't have the leadership on the field to get them to the next level. So he's 38 years old, has a very, 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 very lengthy list of injuries. And of course, he's still a legitimate threat. He's a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. So this could be the last hurrah for Big Ben. Now, another thing I'm really interested in, and I want to keep an eye on, folks, is what happens if Jarrett Stidham outperforms Cam Newton in New England. Bill Belichick has already said that it is open competition, but we won't get to see this, you know, as much. I mean, there's no preseason, so how are we going to know who does what and on the field with each other in practice? Everything is going to be decided in training camp, which, you know, you won't get to see Jarrett Stidham go up against another team in the preseason or Cam Newton. So it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to happen. One of the other things I'm concerned about also is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, Tom Brady is there. He is struggling right now to learn the playbook from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bruce Arians is putting it out there, and if anyone can learn it, Tom Brady can. But, you know, when you've been in one system all your career and having to, it should be a struggle. But the things that concerns me with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady is that, you know, how's that chemistry is going to work with the Buccaneers? I mean, the Buccaneers already have good receivers, some good players on that team, And when you get Gronk and Tom Brady on this same team, how are they going to just kind of maintain what they've already built on? I mean, Jameis Winston was probably their biggest problem last year that prevented them from winning. I mean, he had his ups and downs, and his downs was really down. But now you get Tom Brady in. So Bruce Arians is going to have to, I mean, how much control is he going to give to Tom Brady before, you know, it may not sit well with some of the other players? How many passes will he throw to Gronk to where the other players are feeling like, hey, you know, what's going on here? So that's going to be interesting to see. So we'll keep an eye on what's happening there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think overall the NFL season looked like it's moving right along. I mean, I don't see what's going to stop it at this point. But people are still having concerns about how games are going to be played, where they're going to be played, and the safety precautions, not only for the players but the fans. I just think it's going to be totally crazy to have some teams not having fans at all and some trying to have fans. Those are the things that just really, you know, it's the same thing with college football. You know, you got some teams that are saying, we're not going to play this fall. We're going to wait till the spring. How's the spring thing? It's supposed to work with college football. I mean, if there's going to be no spring sports, then that cancels out college basketball. So then you already know the answer to, is there going to be a March Madness next year? Probably not if you don't have any fall sports, right? What champion will be crowned under what conditions? I mean, this is really, really, really just uncharted territory here, and it's going to be interesting to see. But that's what I have for the NFL, and we are going to end the podcast. When we come back next week, we will update a lot of stuff. And I hope you're not even talking about the Northern Trust Golf Tournament that's taking place. I mean, there are just so many things going on. But I get you caught up on what happened in the PGA next week when we do the podcast, folks. So anyway, have a very safe weekend, and we'll see you back here next week on the Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio.